Welcome to the Herding Cats Podcast. We are a podcast for children's pastors by children's pastors. Here is your host, Todd Hixenbaugh.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Herding Cats Podcast. The talking voice just told you my name is Todd Hixenbaugh. I am your host today, and I am thrilled to be with you. It's the morning time. And so we have been just chugging along, releasing some episodes that were kind of put on the back burner, that were from the Kid Connection podcast. But this time, I'm actually releasing this episode is with a friend, new friend of mine who I've met through this podcast. His name is Dan Istvanik. Dan, I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. He'll be so offended and mad at me. Oh well, you're awesome, Dan. Thank you for sitting down and doing the podcast with me. Anyway, Dan is a middle school pastor. He is also a person who develops resources for middle school pastors and middle school parents and everything middle school ministry. And he runs a website and a blog and all that stuff called The Middle Years. And he does all sorts of really cool things. And so I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to bring Dan on and talk to him about the transition from elementary ministry to middle school ministry? And so Dan was kind enough to do that. And so he came on and we had a conversation. It was a lot of fun. He's a wealth of knowledge. I mean, the guy just knows a lot of stuff. Been in ministry for over 20 years. And just a person who really understands implicitly middle school ministry in particular, but also what we talked about, this transition period and how this transition period isn't just for the kids, but it's also for the small group leaders. And how do you coach them and help them as they adjust to kind of leaving their kids, you know, as their kids go into middle school and get a whole new set of small group leaders, you know, they have to adjust to that. It's for the parents who maybe for the first time, if it's their oldest kid, they're having to deal with middle school things. And then for the kids, and how do you deal with the fact that now you're going to a different part of the building and, you know, you're doing stuff like overnighters and it's not a Sunday school curriculum like what they're used to. Instead, it's a person on stage talking and there's a band, but, you know, you're doing all sorts of other things and what's going on. And then just the middle school emotions in general of school and all the stuff. And so Dan did a great job of explaining all of this and talking through transitions and how to do this at a high, high level. But before we get into the interview, what I wanted to do was remind you of one thing that I've been saying for a couple of episodes now, that I will be at Orange Conference 2019, May 1st through the 3rd. Be checking Twitter and Instagram those couple days because I will be all over the place. I would love to say hi. Just be checking those places to see where I'm at. I'd love to chat. There's a Starbucks right across the street from the arena. I'd love to go over there and grab coffee with you, talk, hang out. My drink is a Trenta, whatever it is. Strawberry acai refresher, no water, light ice if anybody was wondering. Yeah, that's my drink. So, anyways, let's get into this interview with my friend Dan. Well, Dan, welcome to the Herding Cats podcast. Super excited to have you on.
Yeah, excellent. This is awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you talking with me. You know, a lot of people are might be confused if they read the summary of a little bit of what your background is, because you're a middle school guy. You're not children's ministry. And
right.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Middle school pastors are some of my favorite people to talk to because you're just like children's ministry people, except y'all play Fortnite. So,
yeah, that's tons of Fortnite.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a lot of fun. You guys are fun. So you are the creator of a website called Middle Years Ministry. Is that.com?
And you've
been doing middle school ministry for tons of years. Can you give us like the 2-minute like
who you are and just a little bit of your background so that, that our listeners can just kind of understand more about who you are?
Sure. Well, I've been doing youth ministry, children's ministry for 24 years. So early on, I was the all-in-one pastor. Like small churches, they hire you from birth to college age. But I've been doing youth ministry, you know, over all these years, always been involved youth. But the last 13 or so has been specific to 5th to 8th grade, 6th to 8th grade. So I often overlap into the children's ministry world, and I sometimes overlap into even the high school world with sometimes even working with some of the 9th graders. So that's where middleyearsministry.com came out of. It's a 5th to 9th grade resource site. As I was pursuing my education, my advanced degree, I actually didn't get a seminary degree. I actually went and got an education degree. And in Ohio, where I was getting my education degree, it's considered middle education. So my master's is in middle education. It's 5th to 9th grade education. So that's kind of how a lot of my ministry forms around this idea of doing better teaching in that age group.
Where did you go to school in Ohio?
I ended up going to Mount Vernon Nazarene. They had a education program so I could still work full time and also go to school part time evenings and pick up my master's in education.
That's fun. That's so funny. I live right outside of, we didn't even talk about this off air before we started recording, but I live right outside of Columbus. So I'm like not that far from that.
Well, I spent 2 years in Cincinnati before I got married. And then I spent about 9.5 years in Mansfield.
Okay, yeah.
So I was their 6th to 8th grade pastor for 9.5 years in Mansfield, and then overlapped and did a little work in the college and career ministry as well, when they lost our college guy. So, gotcha. So just kind of jack of all trades.
Yeah. So you've been a little bit of everywhere. I love it. So tell us a little bit about the website. I was on it just kind of looking through.
Sure.
And you've got a little bit of everything. I mean, you've got game ideas. You have just everything. Thanks so much, first off, for what you do with this ministry.
Yeah.
Because I know like a lot of the middle school people that I talk with, one of the most frustrating things is coming up with resources to be able to think through things. And so you've got this great source. So how talk to us a bit more about this website and what all is on there and how it all works.
Sure. Well, the idea is to really meet in the middle of resources, offering some things that will work in a children's ministry model, offer some things that work in high school, but really find that middle ground in the 5th to 9th grade ministry. So what I try to do is I try to post 5 out of 7 days a week. I've done it for years. I had a previous site, and I've kind of revamped it to create it under this middleyearsministry.com kind of logo and idea. But literally every single day, 5 days a week, we're posting something on there. I've invited some other, about 20, 25 guest bloggers that come on or guest writers that come on, and we'll post things specific to those middle years. We try to post games every Wednesday. We try to post some news articles, some things on Tuesdays. Some humor stuff just to kind of get us laughing at ourselves. Just everything. We really try to create a space where people can come and find resources regularly, fresh, all the time. So right now I think there's about 200 plus games on there. The sampling of lessons on there. Just all kinds of hints and helps and all kinds of just stuff to help people do better ministry in the middle.
Sure. I love that. Well, one of the things that I'm really interested in talking with you today is, you know, with 5th through 9th grade, and in particular with junior high or middle school ministry, there's got to be a lot of coordination that goes on with the children's department just in that transition. So whether the ministry is kindergarten through, you know, elementary ministry is, you know, kindergarten through 4th grade or kindergarten through 5th grade, I wanted to start off with this. In our conversation, how do you partner with elementary ministry to align with what you want the kids to know as they're kind of entering into middle school ministry? So like what are you trying to figure out, or how are you trying to match up your goals with the elementary ministry goals of what you want kids to know as they begin to enter into middle school?
Excellent. Well, that's where my education degree comes into play. Is we really try to work hard in our ministry to create a scope and sequence of teaching, a multi-year scope and sequence of teaching that behind that has an idea of benchmarks and standards, so that as I'm teaching, my parents, my leaders, my staff, and even honestly my students know what I'm teaching, in what order, and then what is really honestly what we want our students to know as they graduate out of my ministry into high school. But what we've done in the past at a previous church is we started working that from birth all the way through high school. So there's a really, honestly, almost like the education model. You walk into a school, you say, hey, is my child going to learn in kindergarten? What is my child going to learn in this district or in the state of Ohio or state of Pennsylvania from, you know, each grade? So what we've tried to do is really coordinate with the children's ministry and say, all right, what things do we need these students to know before they head into the next grade, but also before they head into the next kind of age level? So a big sure. part of that is really looking at teaching, saying, all right, what does a kindergartner need to know? What does a first grader need to know? You know, what does a fourth grader need to know before they head into our ministry? And then where I attack in the middle is, what is the things that students need to know before they head off to high school? Because the fact is 85% of kids accept lifelong faith before the age of 14. So what we're dealing with globally, not just nationally, but globally, is a 4 to 14 window. Age 4 to age 14 is the 85% of students who accept faith. And so what I'm doing is I'm working on the tail end of that, getting kids ready to go to high school. Years ago when I started, we were getting kids ready to go to college, and you have all these research saying, oh, well, 18 years old is the hot spot. We need to make sure kids accept faith by 18. Over the last couple of years, Barnett's come up with research. Some other research has come out through other denominations and realizing that we need to get kids ready to go to high school, not college, because they won't even make it through high school with their faith if they don't accept it before they head off.
Why do you think that change has occurred?
I think there's a lot of cultural shifts that have happened in our world. I think maturity has happened. I think our world's just grown up. In a lot of ways, students are experiencing life way earlier. The idea of development, you know, we have students that are developing physically way earlier, that are developing spiritually way earlier. Education models are allowing students to attack things on a high-end thinking scale way earlier. So they're not attacking, you know, abstract thinking in high school. They're attacking abstract thinking in middle school. And so students are starting to think deeper, more high-end, and more abstractly earlier on. So when it comes to things of faith, if the church is still waiting until high school to really attack those big rocks in faith and theology, you've already lost the student. And I begin to see in my previous church. That's what we've even seen, you know, kind of here at my present church, is students are asking hard questions earlier and earlier. So our 4-year scope and sequence is made up of basics of faith, basics of Christianity, basics of life, and basics of living in the world as a Christian. Because that's the things that students need to know 5th to 8th grade before they even head into high school.
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. I guess I'm thinking, you know, of all of the things that I guess now I'm hearing middle school students and even 4th and 5th grade students talking about sure. that, man, I don't remember talking about some of these things or having to worry about some of this stuff till I was in high school. Yeah. So that totally makes sense.
And I live it in my daily life. My son is a 5th grader. So I have a 5th grade son, a 9th grade daughter, and I'm having deep end conversations with my 5th grade son as I put him to bed at night. We have devotion together. We just read through the Bible chronologically, and now we're kind of going back through using a devotional, and we're asking, and the devotional is based off of hard questions. And so we're sitting down with this book and asking hard questions, and then he's coming back with more hard questions. So even as a 5th grader, halfway through his 5th grade year, we're going deep every night together on a personal level.
Sure, which is, and that's awesome. But that also, you know, I think that it also should be a telling sign for us that, you know, as we're thinking about, you know, these transitions, and as we're thinking about 4th, 5th grade, and then moving through into the middle school years, man, we've got to be thinking in terms of, wow, we have some deep conversations that we have the opportunity to have right now. Which is huge. How are you preparing parents for that? How do you talk to parents about that? Because, you know, one of the common things I hear is, you know, parents say, well, that's kind of your job. Like, I don't know if I'm qualified to be able to talk about, you know, faith with my kid. How do you prepare parents for that?
Yeah, well, we're constantly, I mean, our theory is, you know, enabling, empowering, and equipping parents. So even in younger grades, we're saying, no, we want to push it back to you. We want to give you, but we also want to help you do it. We're not the replacement. We're the partner. The fact is, you spend more time with your child than we do. We have a few hours a week. So we want to do our best when we have them, but we want to give you all the resources, all the help. So over the last 5 years, I've been the core content writer for Parent Ministry, ministryparents.com. And our whole mission of that ministry is to create resources, toolboxes, short, online parenting class video clips, just to make sure parents have the equipment to do the lifelong discipleship role that they're called to do. And so we really push that in middle school, middle years ministry world. We're constantly talking to parents, constantly informing them, constantly involving them in what we're doing, and making them feel confident that they aren't disqualified. They are qualified, and God has qualified them to do the work of the ministry at home.
Right. How do you integrate the small group leader into that? Because I think that's such an important role in a student's development or in a child's development as they're coming up. And you have situations where, you know, you have small group leaders engaging in these conversations as well. How do you integrate that relationship into this relationship between the parent and the child as well? How do you do that effectively?
Yeah. We talk a lot about the 5-to-1 ratio. Chop Clark talked a lot about the 5-to-1 ratio. There's 5 adults for every 1 child. Anyways, we have 2 caring small group leaders. We have a youth pastor like myself, and we have 2 parents, if possible, that are all leaning into the child. And then what we try to do is make sure that small group leaders are having conversations and they're communicating with the parents. And then what I try to do on my end is to make sure that those weekly communications that we send out that address the topic of the week, you know, address the scope and sequence of teaching, also include a discussion question. They have a full outline of what I'm teaching and the key verses that I'm teaching on. So parents are fully informed of what the topic is, what the main points are, what the verses are, and then they're given a discussion question or two. They're taken right out of the small group curriculum that I create so that parents can have the same conversations at home. But what we've also tried to do is really invite parents in. You know, say, hey, you know, if you want to pop in, we'll give you a couple times to pop in. If you have questions about what we're talking about, come hang out. But we also include parents as leaders. Some of my best leaders I've had over the years have been parents of the students. Now not every parent is, you know, is called to be a smoke leader or is qualified or he has the patience.
Right.
But those key parents, and what happens is the parents that are involved talk to other parents who aren't involved, and it just earns you a right to be heard. But there's an open door. There's an open door of ideas.
I'm curious, how do you invite? Like, what does it look like for you when you invite parents to come in? Is it like an open house type of situation?
Sure.
What does that look like?
Well, you're gonna laugh, but our big invite a parent night is parent versus kid dodgeball. So
that's
we
awesome.
Have two main times before the year starts as kids are going up for the next grades. So we have an upgrade night. So that's a little bit more boring sometimes, a little more chill. Last year we got inflatables and a mechanical bull and had all the parents come in and we had food trucks. But honestly, the actual core of what we did, we brought everybody in, we sat everybody down, had more of a parent orientation meeting. So the back end was pretty boring. The front end was fun. But midway through the year, we have another parent meeting. It's not a parent meeting. It's actually parents coming to youth group. But we start the night off with food. And then we have this crazy dad versus kid, mom versus kid dodgeball game that parents want to come to, kids don't want to miss. And then we let them experience youth group. We let them experience our ministry as is. And then what happens is the kids head off with their small group leaders. And then I stick around with the parents and we have our own little small group, if you will. And I just walk through, you know, what we're doing, what's coming up, answer any questions, completely open to what they want to ask. So that's one way. Also, we try to do a lot of parent and kid events. So we'll do a mother, son, father, daughter, or the other way around events. So we'll do, you know, mother, son, bowl off nights, or we'll do a father, daughter, you know, special formal banquet. We'll do, you know, laser tag nights, mom and daughter laser tag nights, or father, son, you know, paintball days. And so we're always trying to find ways to make sure the parents feel like they are involved in what we're doing.
I love that. I think that's so important, especially for the kids to see their parents having fun.
Yeah.
I think we all at some point think our parents are boring. And I love that. That's great. How do you intentionally position yourself or position other members of your staff or even position small group leaders you know, as we get to this time of the year, you know, we're in mm-hmm. we're recording this in late February, and as we get closer to the end of the school year, how do you intentionally position people who are in middle school ministry to be able to start having them seen by some of these fourth and fifth graders who are coming into this new space over the summer or even in the next fall? How do you position yourself so that you can begin to build relationships or they can at least see who you are and become start to become familiar with you or the ministry?
Right. Well, a couple of things I personally do is I'm walking the halls of the children's ministry department on Sunday mornings, all and always, no matter what time of year it is. So students see me, the younger kids see me, I'm walking around hugging on the little ones all the way up through the older ones. So they have a relationship with me. They see me, that I'm present. And then what we try to do at this time of year, especially, we try to have small group leaders being around more. But as we head to the end of the year, we really try to find three connections. We really try to make sure that there's three intentional connections that happen with every single child. So every single student will get a letter from me or an email, a personal handwritten letter or note from me. They'll get a personal phone call from one of their small group leaders, and then we will have an event where we're connecting them to their small group leader. Previous church in Ohio for 9.5 years, we actually did a fifth grade sleepover night, an overnight kind of lock-in event that was just for fifth graders. And the children's pastor and I would kind of connect over that. And he would run most of the night, but I would come in the front half of the night. I would sponsor the pizza. I would hang out with students. I would run a game. And then I would bring them, you know, kind of through the special doors between our two ministries and walk them through the youth building so they could take a grand tour of the youth building, get all excited. And then we'd hang out a little bit. My family would be there. My small players would kind of be there. And then we would leave and let the children's pastor take over, kind of have his last goodbye and spend the night hanging out with his fifth graders. And it was huge. It was just always, we had a huge transition. One of the big things was everybody got a special limited edition, fifth grade only, youth group t-shirt. So whatever our, at that point was, you know, our name was Surge Junior High. So everybody got a special edition, still special limited edition. Only the fifth graders got it. But what would happen is those kids would wear it the first night. So immediately everybody would know, oh, those are the fifth graders.
Yep.
And students would know, hey, these are the ones coming up. Let's be nice to them. But the leaders would immediately know uh-huh. who the fifth graders were the first night of youth
that's
group
smart.
Come fall.
Yeah, I get that. That's smart. I love that. So that's the next question I wanted to ask you was, how do you involve the small group leaders in this process? And I think you detailed a couple ways, but are there any other ways that you're able to engage and involve them in this process?
Yeah, I mean, ongoing, I really try to be a leader with leaders, not a leader of leaders. I mean, I'm involved, as you kind of hear me say it, I'm doing things, but I'm constantly drawing my smoke leaders into what we're doing and saying, hey, let's lead together. Let's figure this out. Like, I'm going to write a note, you write a note. Hey, I'm going to make a phone call, you make a phone call too. Hey, I'm going to show up to a game. Let's show up to the game together. Just always trying to find ways, but really kind of empowering them with, here is all the information I have. You have, you know, the full directory of your fifth grade small group you're going to have. Here's all their information. Here's all the ways to connect with them. And then I'm going to just really push you in a loving way to, like, make sure that every single fifth grader gets a connection from you before they come up. Or in our case, it was fourth graders. Make sure every fourth grader feels like they are connected, they're loved, they're wanted, they're invited in. And honestly, both over the years, I mean, the fourth grade going to fifth grade going to sixth grade, are just chomping at the bit at the end of children's ministry to get into it. They just love it. So it's almost like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, they really want to come up. The challenge, I think, on the back end is that those eighth graders going out into ninth grade often are hesitant to leave, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. How do you navigate that? Like, how does that transition? Because I think that's something else that's interesting to me is how do you navigate that transition?
On my end, I try to similarly encourage the high school pastor above me to do the same, similar connections, similar relationships, have some things, but obviously a lot more grown up. And often that's great. Often that isn't. It's a hard transition because it's almost a bigger transition from middle school into high school. And socially, educationally, I mean, school-wise, but even just on our ministries. So that's been a hard thing. Yeah. I think I wrote a few years ago for Youth Worker Journal and I called it bridging the gap. And it was just, how do you build those bridges? And it really has to be some intentional teaching, some intentional connections, and some intentional push to move on. Like, I'm cheering you on to leave, not, oh, I don't want to leave. No, I don't. Why I want you to leave, and you are going to leave, and I'm making sure that I cheer you on as you go. You know, right. So we celebrate that having a you know kind of a piece where there's a, not even a graduation, but a celebration. They get a book, you know, called Freshman, and said, hey, this is your freshman book. I want you to get ready for freshman year. I want you to do your best. Lars Rude wrote it years ago, and I still use it. Just great stuff.
I love that. Yeah, I think that's great. I know that, you know, a lot of my volunteers in elementary ministry, you know, a lot of them have high schoolers or they have those older middle schoolers right now. And one of the things I always hear them say is how apprehensive they are about when their kid gets into middle school or, you know, I have a bunch of, or mm-hmm. goes into high school, or I have a bunch of them that now are starting to have juniors and seniors and they're going, I'm not ready for this. Like, I don't know how this transition is going to work. So I'm always curious as to how people who are in student ministry are thinking about those transitions. I just find it fascinating.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's great. How are, as you are thinking of these transitions, we've been talking a lot about transitions. What are some things that would be helpful as the middle school person for an elementary ministry to do in preparation for these kids to move up? We've talked about what you have done, but what are some mm-hmm. things that you are looking for or that would just be super helpful to think through and think about for these kids who are in fourth or fifth grade who are getting ready to move into mm-hmm. this new ministry?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things is just really feeling, really inviting our staff in, inviting me in. I've been given the opportunity to go and teach. So it's not just me walking around connecting, but for the end of the year is, you know, offering either maybe the key leader like myself or some of the smoke leaders to come in and actually stand up front and teach. That's a huge thing. It's just like the kids can see this is one team, not three teams or four teams. This is one team. We're all on mission together. It's a next gen team. It's, you know, 0 to 18. It's one team. And we're passing the torch, not from one to another in competition, but in working together. And so one of the key things I think I found is when those, you know, children's ministry leaders are standing together with the middle school leaders together, running a game or running an event or doing something together, but then also that teaching piece, like, oh yeah, they're up front teaching too. And I love the opportunity toward the end of the year, every year toward the end of the school year, end of summer, going into the children's ministry area and teaching, being up front and leading the morning.
I love that idea. I think I'm going to steal that and make sure that I get people into those spaces that I have. Dan, as we're starting to kind of wind our time down, is there anything else that you'd like to add or for us to think about or to know on this topic of just transitioning kids from elementary ministry into middle school ministry?
I think this is the biggest thing I've said along is just make sure you're partners. You are partners in what you're doing. It's one team. It's not many. It's not multiple teams. And there needs to be some clear communication. There needs to be some honesty and integrity and say, hey, let's just talk this through, you know? And we have those tendencies to go, oh my, you know, I've done this for this many, these are my kids. And then they become your kids. And
right.
No, they're our kids. There's not mine and yours. They're ours. And let's see how we can do this well, because, I mean, 0-18 next gen is such a huge, huge clean piece that needs to happen in the church, because that's the next generation.
Right.
And if the thing is, on the end, it's going to end up kind of biting us too, because as those 18-year-olds get ready to transition into adulthood, an adult church, you know, that's the other transition that, you know, maybe we're not going to talk about in this conversation, but, you know, it's not youth ministry versus or children's ministry versus big church. I hate using the word big church and I hate using the word adult church. Mm-hmm. It's church. And those opportunities to kind of come together in service and say, hey, you know what, we're going to have a family night, family morning, and everybody is going to come into service this Sunday, a couple times a year, and just it's one church.
Right. I love that. What's something it's something you've read or a podcast you've listened to or a video you've watched that's really helped you grow and learn recently?
Oh man. I think that, I mean, one of the books that continues to stick out to me is Going for God by Mel Walker. It's a newer book, not real well known. But he's just simply saying, how do we prepare as parents, as teachers, and as youth pastors, how do we prepare this whole entire generation to continue on for God beyond just the children's ministry, youth ministry years? Yeah. And that's been huge. It's been just a huge challenge for me. Previously, wrote a book called Intergenerational Youth Ministry, and it's talking about what it looked like for the whole church to run intergenerationally connected, and that's kind of the mention of, like, you know, going into church together as one. Bertha, you know, everybody's in the auditorium for, you know, a few moments, just worshiping together, doing one church moments are huge, because that just communicates to our kids, our students, that, you know, it's not us versus them again. It's all of us doing life together as one body of Christ.
I'll definitely have to check that out. Well, hey, Dan, if folks want to get a hold of you, if they want to learn more from you, if they want to check out your website or social media, where can they go to find you at?
Sure. www.middleyearsministry.com has a ton of my stuff on there. It also has links on the side. So all the places I write for and I provide resources for. You can find me on Facebook under my name, Dan Estevanek. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. My Middle Years Ministry website has its own Instagram. So if you just want to follow just the resources and not me personally and my pictures of my kids and stuff like that, you can follow me there as well. That's probably the best way to kind of get a hold of me, through those resources or ways to book me for speaking and ask me questions, and all that's on my website.
Awesome. Well, Dan, thanks so much today just for spending some time just talking with us. Appreciate it.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, coming out of that interview, really loved being able to hear Dan's thoughts. Again, if you are curious and you want to check out Dan, you want to see his website, you want to maybe ask him some follow-up questions, all of that information for you is going to be in the show notes. By the way, check out the show notes. There's little tidbits and things that are in there that came from the interview, or also just how to contact the person. All of that is in the show notes for you. It's all been curated right there. Now, if this podcast brought you value, if you really were like, hey, wow, this thing really, you know what? That helped me think through that. Leave a rating, write a review. It's truly the best way to be able to thank me. But also, it's really the only thing that I need from listeners is just those ratings and reviews. And so it's really easy to do, whether you listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, Stitcher. You can leave ratings and reviews in all of those places. They're all places that you can do that at. Go ahead, leave rating, write the review, and I would just really appreciate it. Also, hey, you're like, this episode was great, and you never want to miss another episode, hit the subscribe button. Truly, hit the subscribe button. You'll never miss another episode of the podcast, and it'll give you little alerts on your phone even, so you know to listen. It's a great tool. For me, I use the Overcast app, which is an app that's based really for – it's an app based around the Apple podcast directory. So I don't know what the equivalent would be. I don't know if Google and Android has their own Overcast app like that. But for me, I use Overcast, and it works really well. So do it. Check out the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss another episode. And until next time, friends, keep learning, keep growing. Deuces, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Herding Cats Podcast. We hope you tune in next time.